This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right. Welcome back to the latest episode of the podcast, the Home Editions. As always, I'll be your host, the Ted Smith, the podcast. On the bottom square today on the Zoom, he goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
You know, a lot of friends have reached out to me this week saying they're going through hard times. COVID is hitting them, et cetera, et cetera. Stay strong out there. Persist. We got your back. Let's go, boys.
Good advice. All right, back there recording, getting everything all set up. Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
As people listen to our podcast, you might notice a few new things, and we're working on them. And I don't know, if you hear a couple more commercials, you know, Corporate Beast is going to do what the Corporate Beast does.
Ted, you always sound so nerd. You're so nerd. I can hear that when there's like little vibration in your voice. I always know it's something you don't want to say. I'm just going to say that for the listeners.
Right. It's like, oh, like when you call us the Corporate Beast, I'm like, well, it is what it is.
I don't know. You're going to have a meeting with your boss. He's going to be like, so I heard you call me the Corporate Beast. It's like, I mean, it was a general. It wasn't about you specifically.
I feel like we could have buried this part 20 minutes in, guys.
Right? That's not my style, man.
At least we led with it.
Boys, we're coming out guns blazing tonight, goddammit. It's October.
Cobb just took off his hoodie. His guns are out. No joke. Got a tank top.
Full push brew mustache tank top. Let's go.
All right, you guys talk for a second. I gotta go get. I got a cut off.
Oh, nice.
Oh, dude, I was like, dang, did we tap him out that fast? That he was like, all right, I'm getting fired for this.
Oh, this is it.
It made us down. Did you watch The Tiger King when it came out?
Oh yeah.
Okay, dude, it makes me think of that scene when he was like, that girl gets her arm ripped off by a tiger, and he immediately is like, oh, I'll never financially recover from this.
Yeah. I'm in, boys.
Yeah. Dude, the tank tops are out. Sorry for swearing, yeah. Matt, but
no worries.
It needed to be said. Tank tops and facial hair all around.
Pythons are out of the cage.
Let us cook. all right. So big news for the podcast. Had a big weekend over at my buddy Sal and Jessica's house. There was a lot of good food. He smoked ribs, pork shoulder. Most importantly, though, boys, I had a hot dog.
Ooh. Let's go. Dude, how are we hitting all the landmarks in 1 week? Dude, there's a good energy in the gym, boys. There's a good energy in the gym. Nice, Ted.
Him and his wife were like, we're going to make all this food. I was like, I know, but can we just get one pack of hot dogs at some point on Saturday?
Dude, that's all right, Ted. That's what's changed about you with like your dieting, all your success in the gym is like, you get it across the line, man. Like bottom line, somebody had to do it this summer. We've been talking about it. It's like honestly the last day of summer. Like today was hot and you just boom, dude, you got us there. Hell yeah.
I will say I also had a first with Osiris. He was like, hey, the lifting's good. We need to work on the cardio. And I was like, ooh, like I respect that. Like you don't hear that a ton.
God. Dang, man. Yeah, cardio's tough. Wait, so what was he saying? Like he wants to up your cardio or just like the cardio's falling off or what?
Yeah, he just wants to get us back to the point we were pre-COVID.
That's fair. Yeah, right. Affair.
Because I know he checks the film, so he knows which days I'm in there and stuff. And he's like, well, I see you lifting.
It's the fun part, man.
Yeah, I know, right? I never thought I'd turn into that guy, because I used to always just, when I wasn't in good shape, would always just do cardio and be like, that's enough. And now I'm like, can't we just lift more? I'm like, well, we got to do both. That and, man, just doing quick hit sessions at 4.2, that's a fast walk for your boy.
Dude, what percentage shot, like, is there still any fear that you're going to get beat up by your trainer, Osiris?
Yeah.
If we keep using his name like that.
Dude, I've never met the man. He's going to come up and just smoke me in an alley. Like, he's going to come up rear naked choke and it's over. You know, it's either going to be him or Juicy J. We all know it's coming.
Dude, I think Juicy J has another fight coming up in the UFC.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, I'm like, I feel bad being like kind of on his side now, but I do hope he does well in the UFC. That's cool. I watch a lot of UFC.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, in our defense, I mean, we were just Drew Brokenshire guys. And that's our boy going, you know, back in the day. And him and Juicy J had a good rivalry. Somebody had to talk shit. Cobb did.
Dude, I thought you were going to say, in our defense, we're just p***s. It's like, he's right, man. I haven't fought a man in years.
We're not wearing sleeves. We all got facial hair. We're city p***s.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So I have one more question before we get into like the serious topic. So people don't know, I have this Union Jack, which is the British flag, right? Everybody's seen the design. So I got one when I went to the Seahawks game in London, and it's got the Seahawks colors, and then it's got the Seahawk logo in the middle. So I'm over at Sal and Jessica's, right? You know me, up early. Saturday was a little rough. I was terrible at cornhole. Cornhole didn't start till 8:30 p.m. That's a long time for your boy. So I wake up at like 8:15 Sunday, right? It's a 10 a.m. kickoff. And I'm like, kind of on that line of like, if I go back to sleep, I'll oversleep. So I'm like, I'm just going to get up. And you know me, by the point I've been at your house a few times, I'm making myself coffee. I'm showering up. So Sal's basement, it's like a sports bar, and he has a pool table that's covered. So I brought my flag with me and undid it and put it around, like almost like bunting around the pool table. Like the next morning, his wife is like, yeah, I noticed the flag. And I was like, is that okay? But now a couple of days moved out. I'm like, he's a Dolphins fan. So I'm like, am I the a-hole here?
Dude, I didn't know that he was. You hit me with the big twist at the end. You had me in the first half, but you hit me the big twist at the end with the ending with he's a Dolphins fan, which is for people who don't know who the Seahawks were playing.
His Dolphins stuff.
Dude, I think, you know, as long as you didn't truly disrespect the man's house, I think you're okay. I think a little bit of fun, chummy rivalry. He knows you guys are friends. I think you're all right. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you put holes in the drywall to hang it up or anything, you know, like right. You're just representing. It's still way more Dolphins stuff in the room, right? It's clear which one of your guys, like, that you're at the Dolphins fan's house and the Seahawks fan brought one flag. And I don't think there's a problem with that.
It's also funny because they have like one Sounders scarf that's always flipped over to the other side. Against his big chairs, it says like Red Hook or whatever on it. And finally he goes, yeah, I noticed the flag. He goes, I also noticed you flipped the scarf over to Sounders stuff. I was like, hey, look, they're playing today too.
Well, dude, you know, any conversation about Seattle sports wouldn't be complete without mentioning that the Storm won a championship. So
yeah, they
won. Exciting for the Storm fans out there.
They are dominant.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like the Rain were like that for a while. They had so many women from the U.S. national team. Do you guys remember that? I feel like there was a streak in there at some point when the Rain were just.
So the Rain were always dominant, but they kind of kept losing in the championship game.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Not clutch.
Shows you how much I follow women's soccer. We do have some great players, though, honestly.
Right. And trust me, if one of my good friends wasn't one of the coaches, I wouldn't know so much about Rain history. All right. So today we talked about it a ton on the men's room. Obviously, you guys saw Eddie Van Halen died.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just funny, like with Miles and Thrill, like that age difference comes into play there, right? Like I remember Van Halen as a kid, like Hot for Teacher and stuff, but like, I, you know, like Van Halen wasn't what they, to me, like I just wasn't old enough. I wasn't even born in the late 70s when they were like making a different sound. So, right. But to those guys, it obviously was a massive thing. So I was kind of wondering, like, is there a band, an athlete, actor, I mean, any of them that just like, I don't know, takes you back to that place and like reminds you of like, this is so much different.
So you mean someone that is still alive or that?
Oh no, they might have passed already. Like for me, it's always going to be Biggie. Like I remember hearing Juicy the first time and this and that. They could be alive or dead. I'm just talking about like that person that had in, like, you know, just whether it was a sound or a, you know, a sport or whatever, just had an impact on you when you were younger.
Oh man. Yeah. There's a bunch. The two main that come to mind first are, Wayne Gretzky. I grew up going to the Kings games. I was there when he broke Gordie Howe's record for most goals scored in an NHL career. And you know, I played hockey growing up. I was obsessed with him. I actually got his autograph right over there. The nice. Great one.
That's sick.
Says Matt, your friend, Wayne Gretzky. So I should say my friend, what? Wayne Gretzky.
I didn't know you were friends with him.
Yeah. I mean, dang, I didn't right know it was there. Like that. It's in writing. So, pretty official. We're not Facebook friends, but we're written friends. So, yeah, and then the other one, I wasn't sure if it was alive or dead, but growing up in L.A., I remember when Kobe came into the league and what a big deal that was, and I was there when him and Shaq won their first title together at Staples Center and, like, watching his career, watching the way that he overcame a lot of adversity and really, like, changed as a person as he grew up and, like, you know, the stuff that he was doing after the incident in Colorado, the way that he you know, made such an effort to promote women's sports and women's empowerment. He had his daughters and he became a very strong ally for females in sports and in life. And, you know, was always someone that I'll always have the memories of, but like watching him grow up as an adult, like as I was a few years younger than him, you know, kind of helped me, you know, think about things in a different way beyond just what he was doing at the court and obviously his work ethic as well. So yeah, those are the two that popped to my mind.
And Kobe won one after Shaq left, right?
He won two with Pau Gasol.
Yeah. I always think that's a big difference too, right? Cause you can make the argument like, oh, what do you want him without Shaq? And it's like, well, he's still got two more.
Right. Right. He MJ can't have... say that about Pippen. I'm just kidding.
Both of them.
I'm not a Kobe over MJ guy. I don't get in all those debates.
Both of them had the most important player that happens to have 11 rings, Phil Jackson. That's what we're not talking about.
Phil Jackson's the man, the Zen master.
Yeah, but you could also make the point that Phil Jackson always had an S ton of talent.
Okay, that's fair. But, you know, Phil Jackson did it without Kobe. And he did it without Shaq. That's all I'm saying. You were saying Kobe did it without Shaq. It's like, yeah, okay, but Phil did it without either of them.
Yeah, he did.
Three times.
He did it with Jordan and Pippen.
Yeah. I know. And Rodman, who actually, I feel like Rodman doesn't get the credit he deserves, man. The Windex man.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman.
What was the Worm? Was that his nickname, the Worm? Dude, that's so good. But Rodman doesn't get the credit. He was a great athlete. Honestly, I'll say it. Incredible defender.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, you know, any other team, he would have been a big dog, but.
Well, and in Rodman's credit, remember, he has championships in Detroit with the Bad Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. Rodman's just a physical presence, man. I think I've told you guys this, but for some reason, Dennis Rodman and I have a weird metaphysical connection. We run into each other all over the country, and I don't know what it is. We always make eye contact. We've had this happen three times now.
What?
And I don't know what our vibe is, dude, but me and Dennis Rodman have some kind of weird energy. I think we end up being friends. I don't know. Or like being neighbors or something.
Wait, you got to back this up a little bit. You've run into Dennis Rodman three times and just made.
Have we never talked about this?
No.
Okay. So, dude, what's the shortest version? Okay. One time, first time I ever saw Dennis Rodman, I was in Las Vegas. I was with a bunch of friends at the, I think it's called the Palms. I'm not sure. Was it the Palms? Whatever. It doesn't matter. I was at some hotel going up to a party. I kind of walked away by myself to like just take a breather. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to grab a quick snack. Stand in line at McDonald's. I'm like 22 years old. Who gets in line behind me? Turn around. Hat pulled over his eyes. Boom. Dennis Rodman. I look up into his eyes. Eye contact. He looks into my soul, but more importantly, I looked into his. So it was kind of a weird thing. I was like, I turn around. I didn't say anything. He like a little bit, like we wait a little bit and he's like, what's up, man? And I was like, oh, what's up, man? Like, how's your night going? He was like, yeah, good. Super deep voice. I was like, yeah. Cool, man. Me too. F-ing thriving out here. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm a big Sonics fan, but I'm a fan of yours too. And he was like, okay, cool, man. Cool. I was like, all right, whatever. I order my food, move on with my night. Totally forget it happened until I'm at a bachelor party in Miami 4 years later. We go in the day to check out nightclubs to go to at night because we have 12 guys. So me and my buddy Dave, who worked like promotions for the Houston Rockets, we go to check out nightclubs. We find one we like. We walk out, and as we're walking out the bottom floor, it's a top floor nightclub. We walk out the bottom floor. There's kind of a little bar. Just guess who's sitting there having drinks with his boys? My boy DR. So again, make eye contact. Like, oh shit. Like, I didn't say anything intentionally, but my buddy Dave, like, kind of glanced at me, and like, obviously he knows the NBA. So I kind of just gave him like sort of like the like down nod, you know, and he down gave it nod. Back the down nod. Cause the up nod, I feel like it's someone, you know, the down nod is just like, what's up, man? I see you.
Yeah.
Gave him the down nod. He gave me the down nod and that was it. Moved on. And like, yeah, I mean, You guys look bored. The other story is basically just as pedestrian. So anyway, I don't know. We just keep seeing.
I'm not bored.
No, I
okay,
think
tight.
The up nod is just I decide whether or not I think somebody's cool and the way I shake their hand or the way I give them the nod. So if I think they're cool and they're down, they know what the shake's about, I give them the three piece. Like otherwise, I just give them like the standard, hey, I'm Ted. So to me, like the up nod, like I probably would have gone up nod there.
Dude, nice. Okay, good. Because I had the chance again later and I went with the same strat. So last one, Chicago Airport. Was it Midway or O'Hare? Which one has the big neon thing in it?
O'Hare.
Is that O'Hare?
Yeah.
O'Hare.
Okay.
Midway's.
O'Hare. O'Hare, moving sidewalk. I'm going one way. He's going the other. Didn't really notice him. Like I saw, you know, there wasn't a lot of people in there. Didn't really notice him until like literally last minute. Look up. He's a huge dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
huge. And yeah, obviously, you know, pretty flashy. Look up, see him. Like I didn't even think about it because I saw him at the last minute as we were about to pass. Up nod. He up nods. That was it. I don't know. That was the most special one though. We didn't say anything, but like that one I felt, man, like in my soul, I felt that one. So I don't know, man. That's all I can really tell you. I don't have any data to say what the deal is with he and I. Okay. But whatever it is, there's some connection between me and Dennis Rodman. That's it. I'm a huge fan now.
The only thing I would say to kind of in spite of your stories a little bit, like I'm not shocked you ran into Dennis Rodman in Vegas, South Beach, Chicago.
Yeah,
that's
dude,
exactly
I know
what I was thinking. Checks out.
Yeah, right. It's like it beats like the quick litmus test. Like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, anyway, like three more appropriate places, except maybe Detroit, you might run into him.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And it was all like pretty big, like you know, it's not like it was like a one-on-one at a pool or something. It's like all pretty big. Yeah, there's a lot of people around, but I don't know. We have a little thing, he and I.
I also kind of anyway, respect yeah, that Rodman's had a few drinks and he's like, screw it, I'm going to get some Mickey D's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, it was pretty late too. I want to say it was like, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning. So maybe a little, yeah. It was after midnight for sure.
But, did you notice what he ordered?
No, he was behind me. So I ordered first. I could tell you, actually, I don't know what I ordered. Was that back when they still had supersized fries? I don't remember. Doesn't matter.
I feel like Rodman's a solid 20 piece guy.
Ooh.
Yeah, I bet he gets down on some nugs. And I don't know, but probably. What was I going to say? Oh, Ted, your earlier question about people who, you know, inspired me. I didn't really watch a lot of sports growing up, and I wasn't really that into music. I definitely was a big Sonics fan. So the Glove, but most importantly, Sean Kemp, the Rain Man, who years later humiliated me in a bar. We've talked about it on the podcast. Basically, we took a shot together. That was a highball glass full of liquor. Magrus Mark at the end of the night. It was his bar. I paid for both drinks. He tried to take mine as a shot. It was difficult. I ended up close to blackout. He sure doesn't remember who I am, but it was a good time. But yeah, as far as people inspiring me, I don't know about that. I'd say it's more probably people I've read, but I'm on board.
Yeah, I was just thinking today, like, just listening to Miles and Thrill talk, I was like, oh yeah, like, Eddie Van Halen, like, what he was doing on that guitar, like, nobody had heard.
Yeah.
So just listening to people explain it, you're like, oh yeah, that's completely different. So it got my mind racing about thinking about when I heard Juicy and just, like, I don't know how to explain it, but just the sound was different, Biggie's flow was different. It was like, holy cow.
Dude, there's a few people like that who take a genre to the next level. Like, Ted, you'd be the best person to ask about this, but would you say that in college, Johnny Manziel did that or no? That he was that big of a difference?
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
he win the Heisman as a freshman or sophomore?
Dude, me and you were together when he beat Alabama in Alabama. We were, that'd have been a fun day, and we were sitting at, where were we at? Dad Watson's. What's the bar with the dogs?
Oh, Norm's.
Norm's. We were sitting in Norm's, and I remember looking up at that TV like, what is that freshman doing? And like, literally, nobody was beating Alabama in those years.
Dude, so that's what I'm saying. I feel like every once in a while there's like a, I don't know if you'd call it a genre breaker or an iconoclast or something, but somebody who just moves the needle. Like, to me, Michael Jackson was like that. Jimi Hendrix was like that. Maybe Deion Sanders. I don't know. I don't know. People would just like go so big. Michael Jordan, obviously.
I would definitely put Deion on that level. Prime Time was a massive deal.
Tiger.
Yeah. Tiger was just so good, but you're right. He changed.
And so the young.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason like Matt's boy, the yoked up dude, that's the reason everybody crushes drives like they do now. It's like
Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody was doing that till Tiger. Like, literally, I remember, like, the first time he won at Augusta at the Masters, they were like, we might have to, like, somehow move the tees and do this and that. Like, it almost is unfair the way he's hitting the ball.
That's what I mean. It's like somebody who breaks the category. He was apparently the first golfer to lift. Mm-hmm. That's what I had heard.
Yeah.
They there was a phase where they did lengthen a lot of courses that the tour stops at, and they called it tiger-proofing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That shows you how much they've changed the game.
Yeah.
Your name proof the
tiger proofing the courses. And it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's basically what Duke did to college basketball. They were just dominating, unfortunately, against teams like Maryland a lot in the early 2000s, mid-2000s. And it was like, all right, we got to move the 3-point line back a little bit. Because it used to be you live and die with the three, but it's like they're only living. They're not living.
Dude,
this is not fair.
Oh man. Yeah, seriously. God.
Cobb, what's the word? We were talking about Dennis Rodman, then you brought up Sean Kemp. Is the term pariah, what does that mean? I feel like I've heard that associated with that Dennis Rodman.
So that word I couldn't define for you, but I've only ever heard it with social pariah. And in that context, it means somebody who is marginalized by society, and basically associating with them looks bad to you and probably hurts your social status.
Oh, okay.
I always think of a social pariah as somebody who's not on the same level, but is trying to get in.
Let's take a look. We got Google. An outcast. They were treated as social pariahs. A member of a low caste in southern India is the historical. What does it mean to be a pariah? Yeah, an outcast, a person or animal that is generally despised or avoided. Well, yeah, it looks like it's an Indian word, I guess.
Huh.
Man, I had that dead wrong. I just thought it was about piranhas.
Dude, piranhas are insane. Have you guys ever seen one in person?
No.
No. Hope not to.
I've never seen one in the wild. I've just seen one in like a little aquarium. Insane. One of them bit like 98% of the way through one of my friend's fingers. Actually, Ted, you know him.
What?
And Matt, I'll say this. He used to live at the barracks.
Oh.
We'll leave it for another time, boys.
Now I'm curious.
I'll tell you after.
All right. Perfect.
What else is going to bring up? Right. It's easy to think of like athletes that do stuff or musicians. I mean, for my taste, sometimes too, like people aren't, I forget whose line it is, right? I think it's a Kanye line. Like nobody ever gives you flowers when you can smell them. Like kind of about being dead and everybody shows up with flowers. But it's like, whatever you think about Kanye these days, like I remember when College Dropout came out. I mean, that album was completely different and this and that. Like he changed a lot of the sound we have in music. Hell, I hate to give him credit, but like I remember the first time I saw a Yeezy, I was like, that's an ugly shoe. I'm a Nike guy. And now I'm like, those are pretty dope.
Dude, I'm totally with you. College Dropout was huge. I still think Yeezys are gross, but he definitely changed. College Dropout was, I mean, a lot of people look at that as one of the top like 20 albums of all time, you know, maybe top 10. I mean, that's just a great album. I've never been a huge Kanye guy, but he definitely moved the needle.
I've watched a lot of documentary footage on Ice-T these last few days, and I was not fully aware of like the historical impact and timing of like when he was coming up and doing what he was doing.
He's arguably the first real gangster rapper.
Right. You know, because like, I just know him as a dude from Body Count.
Yeah, like Big rapped about all that stuff, but Big never did that stuff. That was kind of the thing.
Right.
Like he lived in the neighborhood and his buddies did stuff, but like, I don't know. You'll hear interviews with his mom where she's like, yeah, my son never did that. It was his style.
Right.
You know, in the same way that like Jay-Z back in the day had Damon Dash, and Damon Dash was like, you do the rapping, we'll get the money. Don't worry about how we get there.
Yeah, well, and Jay-Z, you know, he said that he was like on the corner selling rock as well. I don't know if that's verified or whatever, but.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a whole nother discussion. You got to ask Dame that.
Really? Dang. Yeah, and I know Mac Dre, similar story out of San Francisco. His crew was, you know, obviously selling MDMA to pay for his recording career, which was starting to blow up. So.
Yeah, it's funny too how like you get protected in those areas, right? Because I mean, you even look at like a Kevin Durant. Like we're both from PG County. Kevin Durant obviously grew up in a different part of the county than I did, but it's one of those things where it's like he was so good at ball, people are like you're not going to run with us, you're not going to do this or that. You know, it's almost like you protect them, you want them. You know, it's like I don't know. You ever seen Above the Rim?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. For some of the people on this podcast, that'll be a deep reference, but it's like one of those things. Like you want the guy that can shine and make your neighborhood seem great. So you don't want him to get in the same trouble that you're doing.
Yeah, like, totally.
You know,
it's like, yeah, boosting him up rather than dragging him down.
Yeah. And I mean, on a different, much smaller level, right? Like we do the same things, right? Like how many times have you seen me tell somebody like, hey man, don't be drinking these beers at the pace I'm drinking them. You're not gonna keep up. You know, I remember one year at Meltdown, I'll leave the name out, but just like waking up out of a zero grav chair and being like, be careful with that joint, it's a very strong joint.
Dude, I remember that. All right, like without giving too much detail, do you remember the movie Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, you know when that guy, or wait, is it the girl? Yeah, when the guy shoves the needle of adrenaline into the girl's heart and she like, and comes back to life.
Yeah.
That was you coming out of like that sleep or trance or whatever to tell them not like, don't be careful with that joint, man. And then right back down into the zero gravity chair. Like you came out of nowhere. You came out of a deep, deep, dark slumber to give that warning. I always thought it was funny.
I mean, I was there the whole time, but I was clearly kind of incapacitated, if you will. But I just saw one person like, yeah, sure, I'll smoke this. And it's like, hang on, man.
Those cavi cones, right? or Krabby cones. Those things were ridiculous.
God,
they were ridiculous. Those are irresponsible. That's the real word for it. They were irresponsible.
I don't think they even make them anymore because I think the state was like, legit, these are too much.
Dude, yeah, that was like the M1000 of joints. Like there was like, people are losing fingers. Like we got to shut it down. God, I remember those things, man. Jesus.
God.
Well, the worst part is like every once in a while, I just pop out of a corner and be like, should we smoke one of these?
Would you guys like to get high? And then you'd be like, hey, man, be careful. And you always had like that panicked look with your eyes went wide. And you're like, hey, be careful with this one.
Right. I mean, he still does that with edibles.
Yeah. And trust me, I have let some friends down with edibles before. Because sometimes men are confident. Like, again, I'm not going to name names, but somebody we all know missed like half a Super Bowl. And I was like, I should have never given you that full 10. Like, I knew you could handle it.
Yeah, people get confident, definitely.
Yeah, I was
especially if they've got a couple beers in them or they're, you know, they like the music, they're having a good time.
Yeah, I had a buddy a couple weeks ago. We were just watching the Seahawks game, and we had shaved a mustache into him the night before, so he's a little hungover. And finally, I go, listen, you don't do a lot of marijuana. I'm going to take a 10 and cut you off a little corner. Should be about 2.5-3%. I go, number one, it'll help you with the indigestion. Number two is we're watching a damn football game. It'll make you hungry again. Like by halftime, he's like, dude, you're right. This feels pretty good. But if I had given him a 10, I would have lost him for the day.
Oh, yeah. He's gone. He would have been wandering around Capitol Hill with that handlebar mustache, just asking to get taken down by Antifa.
All right, Kyle, do we have some email?
Yeah. Cover songs. We're sitting here with the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
And we talking about cover songs? Sorry, I'm in an Iverson kick right now. Ha ha. The version of True Colors by Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick from Trolls is hands down better than the Cyndi Lauper. But that's to be expected because all JT makes is bangers. If you don't agree, I'll quote the great Donnie T. Trump. Wrong. P.S. Come on, Mark. Don't be stingy. Jaden.
Maybe that's a Mark Cuban reference.
Yeah, I don't know who Mark is. Did you know that's Justin Timberlake on the chorus of Where Is the Love by Black Eyed Peas?
Yes. And then, so
I didn't know that.
He did the original chorus. And then right after that, they brought Fergie into the band. So every time in concert and stuff, people always just assume it's Fergie, but that was JT. Yeah,
Black Eyed Peas
was a little different of a rap group before that.
Wow.
Then they got a little poppy, which is fine. They made a bunch of money. I love Fergie. Some people think she's not the prettiest in the face. And I'm like, well, there's more to a woman than one aspect.
She's got bars too.
Right.
Hello, Ted, Cobb, and Matt. This would be a topic I could talk about for hours, but we don't have that much time. I'll give you my top five favorite covers in no particular order. Detroit Rock City, performed by Kiss, covered by the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. Gold Dust Woman, performed by Fleetwood Mac, covered by Hole. Wow, I forgot about Hole. And the Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
Bosstones put in. Josh likes them.
Yeah. Easy, performed by the Commodores, covered by Faith No More. Rain and Blood, performed by Slayer, covered by Body Count.
Yeah.
And Sail, originally performed by AWOL Nation, covered by Devil Driver. I'm going to check that one out. I love the song Sail.
Yeah, I love Devil Driver. I think you'll enjoy that.
Actually,
Matt, oh, go ahead.
I really liked AWOL Nation. I should start listening to them again.
Sail! Yeah. that's my cover. Matt, Neil Young performed Cinnamon Girl, if someone hasn't told you by now.
Oh, did I say Neil Diamond?
Well.
Probably.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I hope you're all doing well. Stay safe and do your civic duties soon. Stevie, the Packers fan.
Nice.
Thanks, Stevie.
Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
I'm not checked in quite a while. It's the old guy stuck in Minneapolis. Yes, I'm still stuck here. I can't tell you how much listening to the podcast each week makes me feel like I'm back home in Seattle. Thank you.
Yeah.
As for the topic. Yeah, right? That's f-ing dope. Yeah. Sorry, Matt. As for the topic, best song remake, Garth Brooks, Shameless. Billy Joel did it first, and I believe he prefers Garth's version too. Don't fact check me, just shooting from the hip. My wife dedicated that song to me at our wedding, and our 25th anniversary is this month. So maybe it's just top of mind. If you have time to read the next part, oh, if you don't have time to read the next part, no worries. We do. If I can go back a week, the song that hits me emotionally, the band may surprise you, Bowling for Soup, When We Die.
Boys? I remember the name of that band, and I remember what they look like, but I don't remember that song.
Yeah.
Same.
Not super familiar with those guys. I remember them. They existed.
I just remember they had a big dude in the band. And at that time, I was still like 300 pounds. So I was like, I like this band.
All right. So I just threw it in my browser to check out when this cast's over. A bit of the backstory. When I'm having a bad day or just in a funk, I turn to watching music videos. Like back in the day when MTV only showed music videos, that's if you were fortunate enough to have cable. My girlfriend did. I like that he brings up the girlfriend after like, that's our 25th wedding anniversary. But, you know, shout out to simpler times with Skinamax and my girlfriend.
Dude, straight up real quick. I left a charger at my buddy's house. So I wake up Monday morning. This would be way too personal. But, you know, I like to wait all week for a little self-relief, if you will. I wake up Monday morning, like 4 a.m. and I'm like, I got to get this out of me. I got to chill out. My phone's dead. And I had to be like, on my remote, be like, Showtime. I'm like, fine. It's Skinamax movie.
Wow, dude, going old school.
It felt so old school, man.
God,
dude.
That's like, dude, I wonder, as you know how there's like meetups for like old car guys, like guys with hot rods and stuff? Like, how crazy would it be if, like, as the internet ages, there's meetups for, like, guys who are like, yeah, man, I used to watch HBO Uncut, too.
Dude, trust me, there is. They're just outside of strip clubs.
What was the HBO late night one? What was that called?
Real Sex.
Real Sex. Thank you.
We were pretty quick on that one, Ted. Jinx.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we said it at the exact same time. And then Showtime... Was it Showtime that had Red Shoe Diaries?
Ooh, I don't remember. I remember that being a thing.
Oh, I'm not sure. Could have been anything, man. I don't know. Dude, y'all are ridiculous. I was allowing YouTube to play whatever, and when it rolls from BFS 1985 to When We Die, I started watching the video, and the little kid looks just like my youngest son. Well, thinking about all the other stuff going on, it all hit me and I sat there crying. The message of the song is great. We don't get back time when we die, so make up for your mistakes and rebuild relationships that are broken. Side note, the $6 million man, Lee Majors, plays the dad in the video. You guys stay safe and keep doing what you're doing. It feels like home to me.
Who's that from? Is nice. That Ian?
You told me early on, if they don't sign their name at the end, don't not to say it. I try to stick by that. He did put his, I mean, in the two, it obviously says their name, but he didn't sign it. I don't know. Your call.
No, I'm just saying, am I close?
Who'd you say?
Ian? No.
No.
My bad, Ian. Wrong guy in Minnesota.
Wrong guy, to pin a lifetime of Skinamax and an ex-girlfriend on. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
On the topic of song covers, Cobb mentioning the Johnny Cash cover of the song Hurt would be near the top of my list. Dude, I'm happy you said that. I was feeling a little attacked. My top pick. Well, I'm not that big of a music guy and you guys are. So I was just like, okay, I took a shot. My top pick takes me back to being a teenager listening to 107.7 in high school. The song is We Will Become Silhouettes by The Shins. The song is originally by the Postal Service, but the Shins knocked it out of the park with their cover. It's worth a listen if you know the original. Going back a couple of weeks, a song that sticks with me emotionally is Hands Open by Snow Patrol. I listened to that song all the time when I was driving to the hospital daily to see my dad, who was dying of cancer at the time. Take care and thanks for the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Chaz in Wyoming. Soon to be Chaz in Seattle. I got a new job and I'm headed there next month.
Chaz, nice. We had a whole neighborhood named after you. Get over here, bro.
Dude, Ted, sometimes you're just funny as hell, man. That's it.
All right, let's check in with what's maddening.
All right. So I had a fun weekend. What was that? That was Saturday. Tyler and I went up to Leavenworth. Didn't realize it was Oktoberfest when we went. We actually went just to go golfing because my buddy Kyle Court, I went golfing with him last week as well. And JT from Clover Jane and all a million bands, and Jake from 10 Miles Wide, a million bands, bunch of musicians. We had a great time last Wednesday up at Battle Creek in Marysville. And then Kyle told me, yeah, I went golfing in Leavenworth. And I was like, that sounds rad. So Tyler and I went up there Saturday to go golfing. Had an awesome time. Been working on some stuff in the simulator, getting my drive more Bryson-like. And, you know, she's coming along well, too. So we had a great day golfing, like, right at the base of the Enchantments. Awesome golf course.
By the way, my brother seemed almost personally offended that I have not played 18 on your simulator.
Oh, we'll get you over here ASAP, Ted.
I know, he was like, you haven't played it yet? And I was like, well, last time I was there, they were still setting it up. Like,
I sent him a video of it the other day. It was pouring down rain, and I looked at and I just like shot out the window and then panned over to the simulator, like golf weather.
That's sick.
Yeah. So anytime, Ted. So it was a ton of fun playing in Leavenworth. And then afterwards, our buddy George was out there along with our other buddy Nick. And it was so we met up with them. Nick ran 30 miles with elevation in the mountains that day to celebrate his 30th birthday party.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah. He was limping a little bit, but what a like jolt of just awesome energy to be around someone that just accomplished something that nuts. I forget exactly how much elevation it was, but a lot, 30 miles, going up and down hills, for his birthday present to himself.
That seems just about right for him though. Like, right? I mean, that dude's crazy. I love it. Like,
exactly.
I respect that.
Yeah. Almost everybody else. Like, that seems way too crazy. Like, that seems right for Nick.
Yeah.
Dude, little stories like that make me want to push myself so much more. You know what I mean? I'm like, what did I do? Like, I laid on my couch, probably watched a couple YouTube videos. That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I do push-ups when the Seahawks score. Like, okay, good for you, dude.
And he's like, 30 miles uphill both ways.
Yeah, basically.
Barbed wire wrapped around my bare feet for traction, bitch. Come at me.
So awesome weekend, and just a lot of golf.
How crazy was Leavenworth for Oktoberfest?
Dude, it was wild. We were sitting outside of the place and got a table and stuff, but it was very crowded. And so we didn't go inside a bunch. I don't know what the insides of those places were, but even outside, it was a lot. Like, Tyler and I aren't big. I know it's different in the city, but I'm not a big, like, wear a mask outside guy. And walking up, it was like, let's put these masks on. Like, even though we're outside, this is a ton of people.
Yeah, and I love Leavenworth, but I have heard some stories from Oktoberfest where I'm just like, that's aggressive.
Yes, the energy was good.
Oh, solid.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cob topic.
Cob topic.
Ted, real quick on the Leavenworth thing. You guys like metal shows and rock shows? I have been in the pit of October. Like, they actually have a pit. in Oktoberfest. That's how rowdy it gets in Leavenworth.
Wow.
But it's a polka pit. It's polka music, but there's like a legit mosh pit.
Wow. Fun.
I know. So I keep hearing the polka pit. Yeah, I should trademark that. That's good.
I'm putting that in the description. I'm putting that in the episode description. We discuss sports icons to the polka pits.
And welcome back to the I keep, you know, for some people around the country, probably the protests are no longer happening. They definitely are in Ted, my neighborhood, right outside the window. And so I keep seeing this moniker, ACAB, graffitied on everything. ACAB, ACAB. And I heard the protesters chanting. I don't know if we can say the word at the end of this. Matt, you can believe me if we can't, but the chant is what? Ted, would you like to explain what it is so I don't?
So I just hate saying it. It's not my favorite thing. The chant is, man, I almost feel bad saying it. The chant is all cops are bastards. ACAB.
Right. I just wasn't sure if we could say the B part. So with that, it got me thinking like just about the personality type, the psychology behind people who end up as police officers, you know, tough job. In some places, low pay, long hours, other places like Seattle, really high pay. But you know, it certainly takes a certain personality type to want to be somebody who goes out and actually enforces the rules, you know, good or bad, you know, whatever you think about cops, not really, doesn't matter. You don't need to email us about that. But the cop topic this week, I was just thinking about different jobs and how personality types match up with those. The cop topic is what careers or jobs most attract psychopaths. Feel free to email us. email@thepodcast.com or hit us up on the Twitter machine. I'm not saying cops are psychopaths. It just got me thinking about psychology. What jobs are you like, wow, man, that guy was kind of a psychopath?
I mean, I don't know if I'd use the term psychopath because all these dudes are very tough, but those fishermen, craft fishermen in Alaska, that is a different breed. Like there's no chance to do that job.
Oh, God, dude, I'd be broken in the first, like, I mean, you know, maybe if I like took enough, I've heard a lot of those guys do like amphetamines and stuff like that. Maybe if I took a lot of those, I could do it. But God, man, that's no too cold. And you're just getting like, yeah, I'm with you.
But I mean, like, you know, we've interviewed some of those guys in studio and stuff. And I forget the one guy that always worked on the boat with the Hansons. That kind of got in trouble here and there. We had him in one day and I just in the studio was like, yeah, man, like you always come off as like the really tough dude, blah, blah, blah. Like, is that just kind of like a thing or is that you? And he's like, you want to go? I was like, what? And he's like, do you want to go? And I was like, no. I'm asking a question as a fan of the show. Like, I want no part of a physical fight.
You did answer it very well, though.
Yeah, right. Point was sent home.
That's pretty funny.
Right, so that... I was going to say, there's... Right, and I have a buddy that's a diver that does stuff, too. Like on oil rigs and stuff. And I like Matt. He's a good dude. Different Matt. But just... That's a different breed of person.
Yeah, especially when they're diving, like welding underwater and stuff. Like, that's a wild job.
That's what he does.
Yeah. Wild job. Lot of injuries, difficult job, good pay.
Do you mean psychopath in like the colloquial definition or like straight up like by the book? Because I'm not sure I'm entirely sure what the scientific definition of a psychopath is.
Whatever you want, whatever works better for your purposes.
Okay. Well, I always thought that radio had a lot of the good kind of psychos in it. Just like characters that, you know, really there's a level of like being a bit of maybe a pariah would be the right term. Like, I always felt like people found their way into it because we're a little bit off, but everybody was super cool and like all about having a good time and making the most of their like little quirks that maybe society would have like looked down on and like being ridiculed and, you just developed an interesting, there's just an interesting viewpoint of the world and of ourselves. And it was a lot of fun, but I definitely referred to people in the industry as psychos many times when I was in it. I'm not saying it now, but that's how I used to feel.
Yeah. There's a lot of people in our industry that are definitely like in high school and stuff, kind of outcasts to get into it. But yeah. No good way to say this. Like, I was very popular in high school and stuff, but I'm also a psychopath in the fact that, like, I heard somebody talk on the radio and, you know what? I bet I could do that better and make a living just off talking.
Right. Right. And I think there's a moment like that for everybody in radio, which people literally told me I was crazy when I was like, I'm going to be on the radio. Like, that's, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, that is a preposterous assessment, self-assessment to make. And, you know, shout out to people that ran with it and made it happen.
Yeah. Cobb?
Well, you guys were much more positive spin on this, which I respect you for, you know, especially during these tough times. I heard about, so I'm always curious about what people do for work, what obscure businesses are there that people are into. Well, when you sign your license in Washington State, when you get a renewal, you can sign up to be an organ donor. You guys are familiar with this. If people are in other parts of the country, whatever, you probably, or other countries, you've probably heard of organ donors. And what they don't tell you is that what do you guys think the number one organ you're donating is? Just quick off the cuff.
Eyes.
Matt, what do you think?
Heart.
Ted's right. It's your eyes. So the person I was talking to has a friend who makes crazy money, and his job is to go to, like, you know, people who get in car accidents, etc., and cut out their eyeballs and bring them to the hospital to put the lenses and other parts into someone else's eyes. But he's the dude with, like, you know, the spoon who goes in there and just like, thanks for your eyes. I make 200 grand a year. Boom. Psychopath. Just seriously imagine that. Rolling up to a dead body. You got to pry its little, like, eye skin open. And then you're like, oh, okay, grandma, pop. And you just pop that thing out. God,
someone needs,
man,
your cornea.
Yep. Yeah, that's what the cornea transplant's the big one. You're right.
Oh. It just seems like the organ over the years that would last the most.
Yeah, it's just, God, man. Like, I feel like there should be a separate box to check if they can, like, rip your eyes out versus, you know, like, I would still do both, but you just, it makes you think about it for a second. It's like, as soon as I die, because the body's probably still hot, and there's like, yeah, all right, pop those things out.
What do you mean if you have an open casket? They don't keep the eyes open.
God, I know, man. It's just wild.
For the
eyes
record,
if somebody out there is stoned and listening to this, I hope they're thinking about how crazy eyes are, like, because that'll just blow my mind sometimes when I'm high. Like, what are these things doing in my skull? Like,
well, dude, eyes are fascinating. I'm with you.
Eyes are the one way you can actually, like, save yourself from wild animals and stuff, because it's just instinctual. Like, you poke somebody in the eye, or I don't know. I mean, ideally, if you're getting attacked by a great white, attack his eyes.
Dude, that's what I've always said. That's like one of those things from, like, childhood where you always thought you'd have to, like, worry about quicksand and, like, it's never really come up. Same thing. Like, I've always thought about stabbing a great white in the eyes if I'm in its mouth.
Yeah, I'm envisioning taking a lot of damage from a bear, but somehow, like, just pushing his eyes in.
Like Chubbs from Happy Gilmore, I got his eye.
Right? Maybe we're the psychopaths.
That's the real answer. Don't email us that. That's, we already know.
There you go. It's another The Home episode. I was gonna say, I got some time off, but we will still be back next week.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, no worries. Might be fired up, but we'll get it done. And then I would say thanks for everybody for hanging out. Make sure you listen, subscribe, whatever, tell your friends. We're blowing this bitch up.
Yeah.
Let's go. Right. 2020.
For MCTP, for Cobb, and me, Ted Smith, this is The Podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.